How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of Hellsnuts. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into some big Westeros television news.
Okay, Jimmy, a ton of news kind of dropped this last week from HBO, Warner Brothers. You know, Disney's got their D23. This is kind of that like investor time going on where all the big companies start sharing a lot of their stuff that's going to be either closing out the year or that, you know, quarter one of next year type of thing. We got some news from George. So there's a lot to dive into here. And some of it is the Iron Throne play, right? It is now set to come out 2025 West End Theater. George talked about this. We know it's going to be the tourney at Harrenhal. We know it's coming. George had not a blog post in which he talked a little bit about it. He went over to London to kind of, you know, check it out and see what's going on. And then there was some news there that got me a little intrigued. And then at the same time, HBO dropped some news and got me a little more intrigued. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit here from some of his blog posts. So one of these was London Town. Okay, and he went over there, you know, just going on a trip. He said he talked, they looked a little bit about the play that is going on. He said, you know, we took advantage of the West End, checked out 5 plays, among them People, Places, and Things. You know, the playwright who's it's the same playwright who is adapting the tourney at Harrenhal. He says, I think we're in good hands. So he saw another play. He feels good about it. He said the director's name is Duncan McMillian. He said, Duncan play was dark, powerful, and intense. We grabbed a lunch when he's saying we, he means him and his minions, you know, grabbed a lunch at our hotel a few days before seeing the play and then talked with the director about the Iron Throne. I'm told that the show is coming along splendidly. Our team did a run through with the managers, the managers of a score of the West End theaters. And he says the excitement, you know, palpable to hear. We have not nailed down our opening day yet, next year, most likely, but it looks though we have our choice of theater. So real quick, I want to stay in the play and then I'll get to the next part, which kind of goes into all the HBO stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it only going to be in London?
I think so. I mean, it depends on how big of a success it is. Right. I remember him
am I going to have to fly to London to see this thing?
I think we will. But I remember back in the day, he was talking about it being in Broadway. Yeah. So I'm at one that's maybe slightly sad because maybe the interest or investment in it is smaller than what was originally conceptualized. But two, it would have been a lot easier for me to get on a train for 2 hours and head up to New York City and get some Broadway.
Yeah. I mean, well, we have direct flights to London, but.
You know. Yeah, I know you're not. You didn't have a great experience. I have actually never been to England, so I've always wanted to go, and I was planning on doing something in Europe next year, so that might actually end up making my decision for me. I was more so wanting to go to Spain, but hey, whatever.
It's tax deductible.
Hey, beans on toast.
Ugh, sounds gross.
I'll try anything, but I this is exciting stuff because I do remember when we were kind of talking about this, like way back in the day when it was first brought up by George in a blog post, is like, you know, he hints at the fact that we're going to get some answers, and I wonder how closely he's working with them about the information that's in the play, because lore wise, this is extraordinarily relevant.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. It's massive.
Yeah. It's the catalyst for most of the series.
Yeah. And there's going to be music. I mean, it's sweet. I'm down. So Night
of the Laughing Tree will be, we will find out who the Knight of the Laughing Tree is. That's crazy. Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be more kind of mysterious open, or do you think it's all going to be like hardcore definitive?
I think it'll probably be like maybe a leading scene into the Night of the Laughing Tree where we have to kind of assume who it is. But like,
and for it to be a play. Yeah. For it to be a play, that means that's something we should talk about. I mean, not we don't have to talk about it right now, but I mean, we could do like a full, whether you're doing a Patreon or whatever, like that really does kind of change a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, how do you adapt this to a play? Now, I'm gonna be.
I just mean like
transparent. I'm not super familiar with plays, so I. Well, you know what I mean? I'm not an expert.
Yeah, I did quite a bit of acting in college, so I've been in.
I could see it. I could see it.
Oh, I took a bunch of acting in college. I did like 6 or 7 plays in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Improv. Do a little improv right now.
Well, it's not improv. I mean, you give me my script and I'll read it. But yeah, I mean, to think about that, I mean, that means you've got to think about the three acts, what it's going to look like, and what that means thematically for, you know, Game of Thrones and the Song of Ice and Fire. Because if that's going to be sort of a canon telling of it that George is working on, then that leads me to believe that maybe Lyanna and Rhaegar are like truly in love at the end of this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a love story, right? That would be the play. But also, the Great Northern Conspiracy is in this. I mean, we talked about a whole bunch of stuff about Tyrion Hunter Hall, whether Benjen knew about Lyanna and Ray. I mean, we talked about this, you know, extensively last week. But the only thing is, even if George says, hey, this is canon and everything, like, for me, like, book canon is book canon, meaning that it needs to be in a book for me to tie it into the thing. But it's hard to ignore it, especially if George backs it and is like, hey, here's some answers. Like,
yeah,
very, very likely that the Dunkin' Egg show is him compromising to finish those stories one way or another, right? Like,
yeah,
because he's not going to write all of them.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of big because this feels like it's really going to kind of
solidify some stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's going to solidify stuff, kind of derail any wins a winner stuff.
Well, I mean, he would find something. He's gonna find
something. Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's gonna take a lot of that wins a winner mystery. It's like, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe he's signed contracts. Oh,
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. You're saying that it could kill a lot of the hype around some of the answers we would receive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I still stand by the fact that I think like book canon's book canon. So, like, you know, the play could do something different and then he changes in the book. But you're not wrong. I mean, this Lyanna and Rhaegar's story and the Night of the Laughing Tree, all that stuff is so integral to everything that's happening in the plot. I mean, it's the underbelly to this thing. It's the soil of which this story was grown out of. So to get those answers, and who knows? Hey, we don't know. Maybe there won't be answers in the play. Maybe it'll be very scoped and very mysterious.
Yeah.
But I do agree. If it comes out and it's just like, yeah, this is what happened verbatim, it could be a little bit dicey as far as like intrigue goes for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Interesting, man.
Yeah, something to think about. Okay, there's a ton of other news that I want to get to. And so then he says, we got together with Macy Williams for pizza and pasta and talked about, well, better not get into that yet. Don't want to jinx it. But it could be so much fun. And then he did some other stuff. Anyway. That was the thing. It's like, okay, well, why is he meeting with Macy Williams? And he's clearly meeting with her for a project.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's meeting with her for a project. Now, he had another blog post after that where he stopped at Oxford, but I don't think there is anything in there that was not just, you know, him traveling and stuff, which is cool to read, certainly. Mm-hmm. But it's not anything that... you know, like it's sort of news or whatever related. So, okay. Moving on then. So at the same time,
can I comment on the Macy Williams thing?
Well, yeah, I'm going to bring,
yeah, go ahead. If you're going to tie it into the other thing, that's fine. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I guess this is where everything kind of dropped for me was sort of that. Then there was like Warner Brothers at the same time was dropping all of this stuff, right? Like all of this stuff, this news about things. It said, first of all, said that George will be involved in developing the Game of Thrones film. And Casey Blois, who's like the HBO head, says they're going to develop, they're going to develop an idea. We'll see if it's good. We'll read the scripts along with them. I think it could be fun and interesting. I mean, that's, you know, that's the point. He actually talked about him and like, they actually talked a little bit about George and like their relationship and said, yeah, you know, it's like cuts have to be made, things like that. But he basically sort of came in and cooled the waters a little bit, which is interesting because he was the one who sort of blasted George last time. He's like, well, you can't please everyone, you know, like, you know, and like there's, I'm sure there's one fan who's angry, but he said, you know, I mean, that's the point of development. You see if there's a story that's worth being in theaters and a big spectacle, I think it could be fun. So that's just on that. We know the Game of Thrones thing is officially in the thing. And then he also said that the Jon Snow show is not off the table and they want to take another look into it and maybe we'll try again.
All right. All right. Well, we'll see.
What do you think?
I don't like it. I'm kind of out on it, to be honest. This reeks of desperation to me, to be honest. I think they just lost their ass on a DC movie, and I imagine they're going to make DC way less of a priority in the next five years.
Well, they did just sell off a bunch of tumblers from the Dark Knight series for $3 million a piece. Well, man, it's unfortunately not street legal, but man, I'd love to have one of those. It probably goes like 5 miles an hour. I mean, it's, you
know, probably. Yeah. So my point is like, I feel like maybe they're just going back to the drawing board. Like, well, what do we have that's been profitable? Oh, House of the Dragon. Oh, Game of Thrones still streams really high. Okay, well, bring that Snow show back. Let's get something on the board. Let's shoot a pilot, you know.
Well, now I'm beginning to wonder what if they're just going to do Jon Snow as not a show but a movie.
That could be kind of interesting.
What if they do the Jon Snow thing is not a TV show but a movie? Because if it's a movie, in theory, it could be a $1 billion movie.
That's so much money.
I mean, no, because that's how much big box office, you know, things are expected to make. I mean, that's sort of, I think, the expectation when you know, like you look at a Top Gun 2 or, you know, Star Wars or Harry Potter or like the big DC movies and stuff like that. That is like, if you hit $1 billion as a thing, that's sort of the thing. And if the first Game of Thrones movie is a sequel to Game of Thrones, like a Jon Snow styled thing. Because he's meeting with Macy Williams, so clearly, and saying they want to do a project together.
So this is where you're tying it into that.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking that it is Arya going west of Westeros in a very episodic adventure show. But I also have another theory.
Yeah.
And this one has no substantial evidence for it. What? And this has been in the works a long. Well, I shouldn't say in the works. It's been in the hive mind for a long time. That the audiobooks need re-recorded. What if Macy Williams was the narrator? This is a pretty popular thing to do. Wheel of Time did it.
Yeah.
And honestly, they probably do need new audiobooks. As much as I love Roy, a lot of people don't like Roy.
No, they definitely should do a different.
It'd be nice to have options because Roy acting out Daenerys sex scenes in Dance of Dragons is one of the most heinous things I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. If they were to re-narrate them, I think I think maybe what I'd want would be a like Wheel of Time where we have like a male and female narrator.
Yeah.
That go back and forth. That'd be kind of cool.
Except it can't be Michael Kramer and Kate Redding because I don't like them. But
well,
Matt, can you believe Thanksgiving is right around the corner? Then after that, we got the holiday season, Christmas, which is my favorite holiday of the year. And I think you know this, but the gift that me and my wife always do every year after Christmas to D-Lo, we go to Puerto Rico. And I really think that it might be time for me to be able to communicate a little better with some of the wonderful local people there. And I think today's sponsor actually is going to be able to help me out tremendously.
Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn.
Yeah, so I mean, over the holidays, I'm going to be needing to speak some Spanish, and I'm a little bit rusty since high school, so I'm anticipating having to learn a good amount to the holiday. So I think the extra gift that we're going to do between me and my wife is Rosetta Stone. It's trusted and an expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. I'm not just Spanish, which I need, but also French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish.
Yeah, and it's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You can pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences, and it is designed for long-term retention.
Yeah, and speech recognition is massive whenever you're speaking a foreign language, and this is built in True Access feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent.
And it's convenient. It's got flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with the mobile app or at your desktop on your schedule.
And the best thing about this is the amazing value. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages. So in the future, if you're going to other places, you'll be covered for any and all trips. Languages needed in life, you will be covered. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses in Rosetta Stone.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Bend the Knee listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today. Today, for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving.
Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season, Matt, it is officially here. I can't believe it is, but it is here, and we have to accept reality. But Uncommon Goods is here to save us because it makes it less stressful with incredible handpicked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that will spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Yeah, they scour the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow, they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of the favorite gifts that I found on their site, Jimmy. All sorts of things like custom wine glasses or bourbon glasses. Ooh. They've got handcrafted things for kids, adults, mom, dad, just about anybody in your life. And with that holiday season, it's always difficult to find something for everyone, but Uncommon Goods has you covered.
Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Get something unique.
From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids, to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fan, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you'd find just anywhere.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million today.
To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Actually, the people I think I'd get, I'd get like Rosamund Pike narrating Wheel of Time works because she's Moraine, and so it's kind of like, it's kind of like Gandalf is the one telling the story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you have Arya narrating Cersei chapters,
How about we just get Andy Serkis in there and let him do it?
I guess like Ian Glenn, who narrated, who's Jorah Mormont, like he narrated The Princess and the Queen and stuff like that. Like if you had him and Macy Williams do it, that'd be, mm-hmm. or even Harry Lloyd do it.
I feel like Harry Lloyd's a little too whimsical of a voice for the main series though. Yeah. Wouldn't you agree?
Maybe just keep him doing the Duncan Egg. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Simon Vance is obviously a good choice. He's a great audiobook narrator. Mm-hmm. Charles Dance maybe, would probably be my favorite.
I think just because because it's point of view chapters, I would go back and forth between male and female, and that could work. And maybe that's what they're going to do.
They could, maybe Macy's.
Did you see Sophie Turner is going to be the new Tomb Raider?
What?
Yeah, I know.
Good for her. I'm glad she's working.
Yeah,
I know she had that rough break.
Just kind of a weird. That was like, this just not expecting her to be Tomb Raider.
Yeah, not really the action movie star in my mind, but hey, maybe she'll get the sauce.
She's an X-Men.
It was she? I don't even know. I didn't know that.
She's pretty good. She's just young Jean
Grey. Did you believe it?
Yeah.
All right, hey, yes. put her
the movies were not particular that she was in were not particularly great, but it's not her because of her, just because of the script was X-Men Dark Phoenix is absolutely terrible. Just a terrible movie.
Well, hey, good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe it is something small like narrating an audiobook or something like that.
But maybe it is for the snow. Maybe they're trying to bring back like 2-3 actors. And
well, you met with Gwendolyn Christie a while back, remember? And she said she'd love to replay Bran of Tarth.
I would love to see her back on screen as Bran of Tarth. She's awesome. She's the best.
Yeah. So I guess to me, what I'm thinking now is I would say that I think it is possible that the Game of Thrones movie that's coming out could be something post season 8. Is I guess where I'm sort of
right, because we had said Aegon the Conqueror possibly. Actually, no, our number one thing
Everything. Doom we said Valyria. Everything was all going to be pre.
It'd be Doom of Valyria, yeah, because the Aegon is as we know right now being developed as a show.
As a show,
so we said the Doom of Valyria. I still think that's possible. It may be the most likely, but you know you're not wrong.
They also. Kit Harington, we know, like, you know, we look at the project he's in, he was supposed to be in the Blade movie because he plays the character that actually like that is based off that, like George sort of based House Dane off of. I always forget it because it's sort of a companion character to Blade where it's like,
I can't remember, but I know.
I think it's like a Black Knight or something. I forget it anyway. And he sort of has a lot of similar things and that it's pulled off of. But because he showed up in Eternals and then he was supposed to be in the Blade movie. But the Blade movie is essentially on hold now. Like they've been trying to find a director for years and now they're like, it's dead. So that was supposed to be his like one of his next big things. It seems like now he might be totally out of Marvel because they're going like a totally different direction now. So that would open him up. I mean, they all have projects that they work on and stuff. But if he wanted to, if he was like, you know, I really want to be a big movie star. And obviously he worked on the thing a little bit. And Emilia Clarke's not going back to Star Wars anytime soon or Marvel anytime soon. So.
Man, very, very curious of what is going to happen with this. I mean, listen, like I said, I've watched anything and judge it off the merits of its content, but I don't like the fact that it was shelved just a few months ago and now it's back in action. After this Joker debacle with Warner Brothers, like I'm just worried that Warner Brothers is like, we just got to do something. And then I don't want to get a story that's half baked, you know, like I want it to be something. And that's what Kit said, right? He said, we didn't have a story and unfortunately it just didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, there was another thing that sort of happened. A couple other things that is news here. And I think they all kind of tie together. So one, I'll talk a little bit about what Casey Bloys said about George. Cause remember a little while back, he's kind of was like, George was very, very critical and took down that post and then deleted it. So he said, he is very important to me, to us. But when we put shows together, it's like putting a marriage together. Marriage is going to be difficult, especially when Ryan Kendall is making creative decisions and adapting work. It can be fraught. A marriage can get rocky. I would prefer everybody get along, of course, but with the creative process, we are always going to have bumps. That's to be expected. So, you know, I mean, I think it's just sort of like George kind of is what it is. We can't include everything, but it's obviously saying he's very important to me. He's very important to us. And then he's also saying, hey, we're going to work on this thing. So I think maybe what his thing is, all right, I'm just going to have George continue to work with us, but he just might not work with Ryan because he and Ryan are having a tiff.
I would be shocked if George is ever involved House Dragon ever again. And I don't think you're going to see anything positive from George except for like performances and stuff. Like he still loves the, and that's the same thing with season 8. He obviously loves the actors and the costume designers and the people who, you know, really put blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. But
yeah, but George can still be tough. So it seems like, so it's not like George is, they're going to like saying, hey, you're not working on any of this other stuff. He's like, we will obviously want George with as much stuff as possible, but it just might not be House of the Dragon. But House of the Dragon is like, there's only 2 seasons left. So big picture, it's like, all right. So really the person who might be odd man out is Ryan Kendall.
Oh, he's done.
I mean, he'll probably do other stuff at Warner Brothers, because obviously House of the Dragon is still extremely successful. And I imagine season 3 and season 4 will be successful, which kind of sucks because you and I liked it.
I think he's done a nice job.
I think he has too. I know.
We love George, but we didn't think he was all completely in the right.
And it's the same way I feel about Dan and Dave. Is Dan and Dave, I think, are amazing at adapting work. Otherwise, Game of Thrones never would have became what it became. Some people just aren't as good as writing their own content. Well, I think the same thing with Rian Johnson in Star Wars. And I've been ultra critical of him in Star Wars. I thought he totally derailed the series. But I think if he's just going to direct it something, you hand him a script and direct it, I totally trust him.
I have a lot of problems with Dan and Dave, but I don't think Ryan Condell's even of the same cut of cloth, because you know he's still passionate about the work and he wants to be there. You know, right. Dan and Dave didn't want to be there anymore. So like, I don't know, it's just a shame. Like they had been there
for like 12 years.
I'm not blaming them for wanting to leave, but I am kind of blaming them for wanting to leave. I know. Yeah. But here's the thing about Ryan Condell is like. And I know that you and I are in the unpopular opinion that we didn't really hate season 2. We actually liked it a lot. We had things we didn't like about it. We were nuanced. But at the end of the day, you have to realize it could be a lot worse. Like Ryan Condell in this scale of fantasy TV showrunners is definitely on the higher end. We could have Rafe Judkins, for God's sakes. I don't want him anywhere near.
This is the same company that also produces CW content. Okay. You know what I mean? It's like you're still in the high tier of being able to produce things inside Warner Brothers. Okay.
Yeah. And I just don't think Condell's the big enemy or horrible thing. Now, on a personal level, him and George and lying and trust, that's a total. I'm not commenting on that. I'm commenting on it strictly from a showrunner perspective. You know, you could do a lot worse than Ryan Condell. And also, if I'm being this is speculation. I feel like the executives at HBO are kind of scapegoating Ryan Condell a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Because
they're using him as this. I think Ryan Condell is honestly being scapegoated pretty hard right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, as long as season 3 and 4 are same quality,
I'm excited for it.
I know it's gonna be. I'm not worried about it.
And everyone's gonna watch it, by the way.
Right, but something else happened. This is the last sort of news point here. Is that internally, a Night of the Seven Kingdoms trailer was shown, and everybody was like, "Oh, it's like fire."
Yeah, but trailers. I mean, the wheel.
I'm just saying. But internally, they all feel very confident about it, and this is all sort of happening at the same time. So like all this stuff is kind of going on at the exact same time. So it's like you have George meeting with Macy Williams at the same time as they're now stepping out and defending George and saying, hey, I think we should relook at the Jon Snow thing, and saying, oh, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms looks really good.
Mm-hmm. It certainly could be worse news. That's for sure.
Yeah. But I guess that's sort of my takeaway about this whole. About this whole thing is like all of these things essentially are happening at the same time. So here's what somebody said. So I have to look up. I don't know exactly who this guy is. Jeff Conway. He's a Forbes contributor and stuff like that. And anyway, he said that he saw the trailer. He said, I got to watch the trailer. It's super funny, yet still exciting action. It was all he said about it was, he's like, it's funny, it's got action, and like, but a lot of the people who also commented on what the like Warner Brothers executives and stuff saw all saw that they said that like oh, it's really good.
Interesting. I don't know. I feel like there's a good chance that it's going to work out, but I'm also very pessimistic about the general audience and general public,
how they take it.
Yeah, I think they're going to think it's boring, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, when do you think we'll see the trailer for that Super Bowl?
Man, they never do the Super Bowl commercial. We always think it's going to happen. They never do it.
It's expensive.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they would do it for just a show. We might see
maybe like a Max.
That could happen.
Yeah, Max thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I
don't know. I mean, we might just see it. Remember, like I think House of the Dragons trailer was just dropped. Like, remember, it was just like some random.
I think they dropped it around Super Bowl Sunday, but it wasn't in the Super Bowl commercials. And honestly, it's just because more people are online during those times, so it makes sense to drop them at that point. I don't know. I don't know how they'll go about it, but I just think that there's a whole lot less spectacle, and I think a lot of people now it's like the cliche is that Game of Thrones is spectacle. So like, I think people are going to want to see spectacle. And I just don't think Dunkin' Egg is going to have that for the common viewer. I think it'll probably be a great show, but I don't think we're going to see ratings as high as House of the Dragon was. And we'll never see Game of Thrones level again, probably, but
ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't know. Interesting. It's all
very
it's
curious. All,
I guess
view of this is that we didn't hear a single thing about Wins the Winter.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah. No.
My God. Damn.
No. Yeah. Nothing about Wins of Winter, but yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, like there's another show on right now. That's another Max show that I think the Penguin is really shocking people and surprising people.
Yeah. Like, people really like it.
I mean, the Penguin is getting some of the highest rated IMDb episodes like ever. I mean, it's hitting like Game of Thrones level. So a few of the episodes. So I don't know. And that's like the type of show. It's like, oh, I didn't think it would be as good as, you know, certainly the Batman movie. But I guess what I'm saying is I think it's possible that, you know, maybe Dunkin' Egg will be kind of like that. And it'll be come out and surprise people because people's expectations might be a little lower going into it. And they'll be like, oh, that's actually really good.
I hope so. I mean, I hope that's the case. And you know, my pessimism doesn't.
There is some mysticism and stuff in there, though, because I think we're going to see way more Blood Raven.
Yeah, but people got mad about the Eric versus Eric sword fight that it wasn't enough action. You know, I mean, I just don't think people live in reality anymore.
I feel like a lot of that stuff, a lot of those comments came later when people were looking back and realizing that, like,
it's like when people say season 4 isn't good now in Game of Thrones because season 8 was bad. Like,
season 6 wasn't good.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, dude, that's just wrong.
That's fine. That's fine. That's just wrong.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.